Well, I want to welcome, my name is Al Murdoch, and I want to welcome you all to this summer's Reader's Theater. We've done these for several summers now, and lately, since I write these and direct these Reader's Theaters, I've chosen historical themes to write the Reader's Theater on that interests me, and I think involve many key things in Unitarian Universalism. The title of the Reader's Theater today is Star King in the Lion's Den. Now, this it describes an incident which didn't really happen, but it's a what-if exercise. What if Star King had been involved in this kind of incident we'll see today? What would have happened? And this is my version of what would have happened. So we have quite a few players in our Reader's Theater. I'll introduce them. And they'll come forward and take their seats. The first is Thomas Star King, who's played by Stuart Fink. Second is Julia King, Star King's wife, played by Joe Murdoch. And if you'll notice on your order of service, there's a picture of Star King and his wife. You usually don't hear much about his wife. But you'll hear about her today. Next is Stephen Douglas, played by Bob Meyerson. Stephen Douglas, as you'll hear, is a presidential candidate and a very fiery speaker, and he was trying to find compromises in the current slavery issue, and also was a candidate against Abraham Lincoln for president. William Lloyd Garrison is our second, and played by Glenn Jacob. Garrison was a fiery abolitionist of that time, and was a thorn in many people's sides, as you'll see. Next is Jefferson Davis, played by Terry Hunt. At the time, we all know Jefferson Davis, of course, but at this time, he was not president of the Confederacy. He was a senator from Missouri, and but still waiting in the wings. Next is Verena Davis, Jefferson Davis's wife, played by Mary Lasak. And next is John Downey, governor of California at that time, played by Bill DeSmit. Downey was on the fence in this issue, and you'll see he's playing for wriggle room in his position. And lastly, not least, of course, is the innkeeper where these people are situated, Mrs. Carroll, played by Ruth DeSmit. Okay, so the scene is this. We're in the lobby of the El Morocco Inn in Los Angeles. Los Angeles did exist then in 1860. It was a very small town, but quite a few people there. It's a hot afternoon in April 1860 in the midst of a strident political campaign for the presidency, pitting Stephen Douglas, a Democrat, against Abraham Lincoln, a Republican. And you'll have to remember that Republicans and Democrats are much different in those days, as you'll see. Slavery is the big issue in the campaign, and the Democrats vacillate, hoping to compromise, while the Republicans are solidly against it. Star King has been invited by John Downey, the Democratic governor of California, to stop temporarily in Los Angeles while on his way to San Francisco to take over as the new minister for the Unitarian Church in that city. Governor Downey says he would like to welcome Star King to the state as early as possible, but, as we shall soon see, it appears he may also have other purposes in mind. Let the play begin.
Reverend and Mrs. King, my name is John Downey, and as governor of this fine state, I wish to welcome you and your wife and congratulate you, Reverend King, on assuming your new post in San Francisco. I trust your passage by steamer from Panama and your quarters at the inn are satisfactory.
Well, our passage has been miserable, and so far our quarters leave much to be desired. But We're becoming accustomed to the crudities of the West.
You must pardon my wife, Governor. She misses Boston terribly. We're making do just fine.
I see. But let me summon the innkeeper for a moment. Mrs. Carroll?
Yes, Governor. What is it?
Mr. King has a request. Please see to it.
She has so many requests, and I've heard all of them. I'm doing the best I can.
It's the bed, Mrs. Carroll. Do you have a softer mattress?
She's been after me all morning. First, she said the mattress was too soft. Certainly, Madame. I will take care of it as soon as possible.
There, there, Julia. We will only be here one more night before we depart for San Francisco. I see we have many honored guests.
Yes, and that is the point of our gathering. They wish to welcome you as well. Allow me to introduce Senator Jefferson Davis of Mississippi and his wife, Verena, Senator Stephen Douglas of Illinois, and Mr. William Lloyd Garrison of Massachusetts. Mr. Garrison arrived just this morning and asked to be included in our welcome.
Yes, thank you for including me, Governor. I do not usually wish to associate with those representing the slave power, but today I have made an exception. I wish to protect Reverend King from their pernicious influence.
Hold your tongue. Pernicious influence indeed. You are the one most guilty of that. In fact, my colleagues in the South would love to see you hung for it.
I heartily agree.
Please, gentlemen. Let us discuss these matters calmly. Senator Douglas, perhaps you can intercede at this time. I have some urgent state matters to attend to, and I'll rejoin this distinguished gathering later. Please excuse me for a short while.
This is just a ploy by the governor to leave you in the clutches of these fanatics. You must guard yourselves against their blandishments.
Mr. Garrison, you are too suspicious. We only wish to alert Reverend King to the gravity of the situation in this state. We wish him to be well informed.
And well disposed to your cause, of course.
I'll leave that statement aside for the moment. Reverend King, are you aware of the tumult going on in this state over the issue of slavery?
I am certainly aware of the issue of slavery. I've spoken and written about it many times, especially during this election year.
As have I. As you are aware, I am currently campaigning for the presidency, and this issue is central to my campaign. But California is a unique situation.
Oh? How so?
Unlike your native Massachusetts, California is a huge area. Southern California, where you are now situated, is strongly sympathetic toward the South, and in fact, there is talk of flying the flag of the new Confederacy over the plaza of Los Angeles on the 4th of July if the states secede from the Union after the election.
Monstrous. Is there talk of California seceding too?
Not yet, but who knows what will come. Northern California, an area now dominated by commercial centers in San Francisco and Sacramento, is less firmly decided about the South and its cause.
Reverend King, beware. You see how these people are trying to twist you around their fingers.
Please, Mr. Garrison, I am now only gathering information.
Mr. Garrison, you are interrupting. Please allow Senator Douglas to continue. He's about to make an important point.
Aha! What did I tell you? This man, he's being coached.
Thomas, please remember your health. You came here to protect your health. You mustn't think about embarking on any more campaigns. I need you at home, and you need rest.
As I was about to say, Reverend King, in my campaign, I am emphasizing the doctrine of popular sovereignty. That is, that the residents of each state should be able to choose for themselves whether or not to allow slavery to exist within their boundaries. The current Republican Party is now dominated by radicals and calls for immediate nationwide emancipation of all slaves. This would be ruinous to the national economy and to the slaves as well, since no one is yet prepared to take such a step. Popular sovereignty, on the other hand, would allow each state to decide for itself whether to allow or abolish this ancient institution, thereby reaffirming the principles of democratic choice. You are in favor of democratic choice, are you not?
Well, of course, but I...
Say no more! Reverend King, these people want to trap you. I'm so glad I'm here to protect you from their design.
Please sit down, Mr. Garrison. You are interrupting again. My fellow senator is making an important point, a point that is vital to the survival of this country. You must hear him out, Reverend.
My husband is much too polite, Reverend King. Senator Douglas's insights are important because it's vital that California be given the choice to decide for or against slavery themselves, and not that the government force a solution upon them. The riches of this state, its minerals, agriculture, manufacturing, could be vital to many other states in their efforts to build and sustain...
The slave trade! Of course, now it is clear. These people want you to support their efforts to use California to build and maintain the slave trade. You must resist their evil ways. Don't give them an inch. They are the devil incarnate. Down with slavery, I say, and death to all of those who promote it.
Well, this seems to be a relaxed group, all nicely seated. Well, Reverend King, were you making a speech?
It seems very hot in this room just now. Or is it just me?
Governor Downey, I'm afraid my husband is getting upset. He doesn't need this controversy. He's very frail.
Please, Julia, I'm not dead yet. Governor, our guests were just informing me about the intensity of the slavery question in California.
It's a strong issue out here, but I think we can make the right decision. I'm a lifelong Democrat myself, and the party has always supported slavery in one way or another.
Well, Mrs. Carroll may be a bit premature. It's true this is a Democratic state now, but a lot can change depending on the election.
I'm a Lincoln man myself.
Would you support a man who would divide our country and ruin our economy? How could you possibly speak that way?
The South will rise and
drive
out these despicable
youths.
Watch out, Reverend. You touch the sore spot.
Please, please, cease this tumult. Thank you. Now let's be civil, not warriors.
Who said anything about civil wars? Say, I have some nice tea in the kitchen. Would anyone like a sip?
Excellent idea. Why don't we adjourn for a moment and cool down? Mrs. Carroll, please lead the way.
Follow me, please.
I thought we came out here to avoid all this stimulation and confusion. You said you wanted to come to California to concentrate on church work. and not work on any more causes for a while. As you can see, this state is in a dreadful stew. Why not let them just sort it out themselves? Why get mixed up in these debates?
I've been thinking a lot about Senator Douglas's remarks just now. I have always respected him, though not always agreeing with him. He does not approve of slavery and is trying to find a way to accommodate the institution until it dies out on its own. In one sense, he has a valid point, because it's true that democratic choice is vital to our country. But I think the right choices have to be made, and made soon. Do you see what I mean? That's where I come in. I can help point people in the right direction, especially in Northern California, so they can make the best choices.
You mean more speaking tours? You mean you're going to run around the country again like you did, giving lectures and after lecture and exhaust yourself? Like you did in Massachusetts?
Julia, please. I know my limits. This will only last a few months, just until the election is over. Then I can become the sedate pastor you've always wanted, and host teas and academic discussions, and help you with your knitting, and live to be 100.
You're such a talker. Ah, yes. Maybe once we're older and retired, we could build a home by the river. I've always loved the river. I could just sit and watch it flow.
You could do that, I am sure, but not me. The sound of the river puts me to sleep.
This is the blessing. Because of those who came before, we are. In spite of their failings, we believe. Because of, and in spite of the horizons of their vision, we too dream. Let us go on remembering to praise, to live in the moment, to love mightily, to bow to the mystery.